Without further ado, we're going to move on with the rest of our service. And as I mentioned earlier, Kevin Richardson is going to present for us on the movie Tuesdays with Maurice. So let's give Kevin a very warm welcome. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Matthew, for the introduction. Remember last week hearing Tinica talk about, you know, each year we volunteer to do God in the movies. They always wonder, why am I volunteering? And it usually happens like 2 a.m, like it did this morning. And of course, this is my 5th time, so you would think I would learn it by now that I should not be doing this, but it's fun. It's fun. The movie Tuesday with Maury is based on a true story. It's a conversation between a former psychology professor, Maury Swartz, and his former student, Mitch Albon, a sports writer and author of the book Tuesday with Maury that was made into the movie. One night, Mitch saw his old college professor on Nightline, a news show with Ted Koppel, talking about ALS, known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Mitch hadn't talked to Maury in over 16 years since he left college. So he contacted him and made a decision to visit Maury every Tuesday and record their conversations and hear Maury talk about life lessons and dying. Life is something that we think about and it's easy. But dying is a spooky topic. We avoid it. But there's no life without death, and one can't achieve understanding a life without taking death into account. Everyone knows that they're gonna die, but no one believes it. Maury says this throughout the movie. Everyone knows they're gonna die, but no one believes it. When a person is dying, more often than not, their perception toward life changes. It helps them to realize what's important and what's not. In this first clip, we're going to hear from Maury.
Are you happy in Detroit?
Yeah. Best town to be in for a sports writer. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, you name it.
Are you giving to your community?
They're nuts for sports, you know. That's what I give them every day in my column.
Are you at peace with yourself?
I can't complain.
Uh-huh. What happened to the music? Wasn't that your passion to be a great pianist?
Yeah. Yeah, I gave it a shot. Then I grew up.
You grew up, huh? Married with kids?
No.
Haven't found anybody to share your heart with, huh?
No, yes, I have. Definitely.
Oh. Not enough to get married?
No. Well, yeah, yes, I mean, you know, someday, but just when we're both ready.
When you're both ready, has she got a name?
Janine.
Janine? That's a very beautiful name. So Janine shares this when we're both ready thing with you?
No.
Uh-huh. I can see, Mitch, that we're going to have a great deal to talk about.
What are you writing?
One more question.
Yeah.
You know anything about this disease that I've got here, this Lou Gehrig's disease? It melts you like a candle, you know? In my case, from the bottom up. That's my legs. Went first. Hands will be next. And eventually, it'll get the whole body. But you know what I dread? Someday soon, somebody's gonna have to wipe my ass for me. But I'm a lucky man.
You're lucky?
Yeah. I still got time to learn. Time to say goodbye to the people I love. And time to teach my final course.
About dying?
Not about dying, about living. When you know how to die, you know how to live.
Now, Maury says that throughout the movie. And actually, at the end, Mitch says it to Maury, since he's heard it so much. When you know how to die, you know how to live. Think of all the movies you've seen over the years, where there's that scene where the old man is dying in the bed, and he has the family gather around and hear his last words. He's going to say, or what is he going to say is what most people's thinking. But what he doesn't say is, bring me my laptop so I can work on my stock portfolio and earn more money. What he doesn't say is, bring me my money so I can fill it one last time. Think about that moment when a person is clinging to life with their fingertips. In that moment, all that they own is of no use to them. What's in the garage or the summer home or the bank account, in that moment, what matters is that people you love are there and you can look them in the eye and hold them one last time and tell them, I love you. What matters when you're dying in terms is what matters when you're living as well. Giving a word or sharing a moment with your family and friends and associates. When you know how to die, you know how to live. Think back on that tragic day in 9/11. Many of us know exactly where we were. And when the people in the Twin Towers, when they knew they were dying and they used their cell phones or their office phones and they called their family and loved ones, they didn't ask them anything. They said to them, I love you. They wanted to give and share their love one last time. Giving at that time is more important. Not asking for anything, not receiving anything, just giving of oneself. The word give is used 1,433 times in the Bible, and the word receive is used 255 times in the Old and New Testament. Clearly, the Bible emphasizes on giving than receiving. Remember, God gave the most important gift, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In this next clip, this is when Mitch first learned that Maury was dying of ALS. We see Mitch is encircled with his day-to-day work and giving little time to his relationship.
In the summer of 1994, he began to notice a few things. Shortness of breath, legs giving him a little trouble. But what do you expect at 77? Stopped forever in the summer of 1994.
Should we do
sentence? That was when Maury got his death sentence.
Whoa. Man, when they fall apart, these guys really fall apart, don't they? It's ugly or is it ugly? I knew it. I gotta change the column. I've got to change the column, Walter.
I knew nothing about what happened to my old professor. I haven't seen him since graduation day 16 years ago. I promised I'd keep in touch, but I got busy dancing my own dance.
Walter, it's a zoo here. Just hold the space for me, okay? Give me a break. Have I ever missed a deadline?
Hi, did I wake you, honey?
Everything I did on deadline.
I'm so it's crazy here.
Everything.
I just want to say I love you and I'm sorry.
Coach said no media until he talks to the team.
Should have talked to him before the game.
Yeah, no, we definitely have to talk, I know.
Hey!
1 second. Yeah, I gotta go. I love you. Bye-bye.
Coach, what'd you say to the team? Did the word discipline come up? How about the word maturity?
Sports are always in season in this country, and I covered them all, living in planes and hotels with a laptop and a cell phone. I might never have known what had happened to Maury if I wasn't always doing six things at once.
Janine, come on. Because I've been in love with you for 7 years, doesn't it? Yeah, but in my book, that is a commitment. Yeah. Do we have to talk about this now? This is the only thing we ever fight about. Yeah, because look at what marriage does to people. Look, I'm not watching it. It's just on. Look at what marriage does to people. Look at our married friends. Look at our divorced friends. Well, look, I'll be back in Detroit tomorrow. We'll talk about this then, okay? Yeah, well, I'll make time.
Just who is Maury Schwartz? And why, by the end of the night, are so many of you going to care about him?
Gee, hang on one second.
This is ABC News Nightline.
One second.
Reporting from Washington, Ted Koppel.
Tonight, Maury. Lessons on living. Maury is going to die. He suffers from a disease called ALS, better known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Maury Schwartz is a retired sociology professor from Brandeis University who is dying of ALS. Maury does not have long to live.
I'm on the last great journey here, one we all gotta take. Maybe I can teach people what to pack for the trip.
Denny? Hello?
Now maybe my dying can be of value, something we can all learn from. Like a human textbook. I've been a teacher all my life. You think I'm going to quit now?
Ted Koppel said in his introduction to the news show Nightline, Maury's lessons on life. I found it interesting that God would use three men of Jewish descent to connect with many millions of people about Christian beliefs. Their conversation led to Mitch doing the book. And you remember, Mitch was a sports writer, and now he's becoming a best-selling author, and his books are sort of intertwined with Christian beliefs. And he says on there, Mitch, whose job as a sports writer, just happened to flick through the TV channel and saw his old professor talking to Ted Koppel about lessons of living. He decided to visit him every Tuesday and write this book on their conversation that will sell millions of copies. I think last count was around 19 million copies. That led to another book he wrote called Five People You Meet in Heaven. Now, these were men of Jewish descent. Ted Koppel, whose parents were born in Germany and fled German during the Nazi invasion and went to Europe. And he eventually came to America. Maury Schwartz, family of Jewish descent, and he was studied Judaism as a kid. And Mitch Albin, the same way. His parents were, he was Jewish. But these three men, because of this domino effect, Ted interviewing Mitch, Maury, and Mitch seeing this leads him to do these books. His second book that he did was The Five People You Meet in Heaven. Sold over 10 million copies in 35 different languages. About a man who was dying and awakened in the afterlife, where he learned that heaven is not a destination. It's a place where life is explained to you by five people, some of whom you knew and others who have been strangers to you. One by one, five people revisit their connection to you on earth, illuminating the mystery of life. Why was I there? That led to his next book, The Next Person You Meet in Heaven. It reminds us that not only does every life matter, but that every ending is also a beginning. We only need to open our eyes and see it. The book became a number one New York Times bestseller. I found this to see how God is working here. He didn't use a spiritual leader or author to write this book, or a Christian writer. He's using these using this man of Jewish faith to talk about Christian beliefs. I was just recently, this past week in Virginia Beach, and you walk the beach and you see so many people with their books out reading. And they brought these books with them to read on the beach, even though every one of them had a book in their hotel room that they could have brought down there. But it's great how God can put his word in these books, these New York Times bestseller list books, and he meets you where you are. No matter, you know, if you're not going to read the Bible, but maybe you'll read a New York Times bestseller list, he'll meet you where you are. The next book that Mitch Albarn wrote was about Christ. It was A Stranger in the Lifeboat. The book became also another New York Times bestseller list. It posed the question, what would happen if we call God for help? And God actually appeared. A novel about hope and faith. A group of shipwrecked passengers pull a stranger from the sea, and he claims to be the Lord. You see the same pattern throughout the Bible where God would use the most unlikely people to share his words. He used Matthew, who was a tax collector. He used David, who was a teenager. Jacob was a homeless grifter. Abraham was told he was too old. Peter denied him, denied Christ. They were all used by God. In this next clip, Maury talks about choosing the teaching profession and gives Mitch some advice on love.
So what made you become a teacher?
Well, you think there's only one reason why we do things? In a way, because of my father.
Your father?
Yeah, it's...
Is this him?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would encourage you.
He didn't. He tried to get me started in his trade.
What did he do?
Sewed fur coats together, you know, when he could find work. There was this factory, the sweatshop, 3rd Street and Avenue B.
You still remember the address?
I will never forget that place. It was the only work he knew, and he hated it.
But he wanted you to work in it?
What could he do? Hunger allows no choice. I'd hear him complain to my stepmother, you know, how he was cursed at, belittled, always pushed to do more and denied the money he had coming. That was my father's world. It was going to be my world, too, except I found out something that day.
That you'd do anything but that.
Something else. It's when I learned I had asthma. Of course, they thought I was just a crybaby, that I was scared. Well, they were right about my being scared, but there was something else. I made a vow that I would never do work that used people, that hurt them and degraded them. I was never going to make money off the sweat and pain of others.
So in a way, you owe your father.
My stepmother, Ava, she was just the opposite. Everything I love about education, I learned from her.
The father of our country is Washington.
It's what I call the tension of opposites.
The tension of?
Opposites. Life pulling you back and forth like a rubber band. Pull you one way, you think that's what you want to do. Pull you another way, you think that's what you have to do.
Sounds like a wrestling match.
Well, you could describe life that way.
So who wins?
Love. Love always wins. You don't believe that?
I don't know, maybe I don't. I mean, have you looked at the news lately? Love's not exactly racking up the gold medals out there.
Maybe the game isn't over yet. What are we're through?
Coach, can I talk to you for a second, just as a friend?
That's the way we always talk. Now, why did you stop the tape?
Well, because this is, I need a little help here. I bought a ring for Janine, an engagement ring.
Congratulations. Does this mean I finally get to meet her?
Well, Look, I'm ready to make the plunge. I really am. I'm talking marriage, family, the whole nine, everything I've been putting off up to this point, basically. But, okay, I take her way too much for granted. You know, I always have. I know that. And believe me, I know what a selfish jerk I can be, especially with my time. But, you know, it's what you said. It's about this fear that I had of not just giving love, but receiving it, and of being part of something that isn't just all about me. And, living for somebody else, and... learning to give, and,
She didn't like the ring.
Well, I never even got to give it to her.
But you love each other.
Yes, we do. A lot. So if love always wins, what the heck is the matter with us? I could use a little wisdom here.
Maybe my wisdom isn't what you need. Start that thing again. This is our last thesis together. We gotta get it right. We don't have a lot of time. We think we don't deserve love, that if we let it come in, we'll become soft.
He had answers for all the big, important things.
Not me, a guy named...
Why not me?
Said it right. Love is the only rational act. Said it right. Love is the only rational act. Let it come in.
At the beginning of the clip, Maury talked about his dad trying to have him follow in his footsteps and becoming a fur coat seamstress. In many cultures, that's the norm, you know. If your father was a doctor, you would be a doctor. If your father was an electrician, the son would be one. How many trucks and vans we see every day with Michael and Sons or Miller and Sons? It was the same with Jesus. His earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and Jesus became a carpenter. And because of asthma, Maury decided to follow in his stepmother's career path and became a teacher. In the latter part of that clip, Maury talks about love. He said, love is the only rational act. Let it come in. The key words in that, besides love, is rational. A person of rational thinking is defined as thinking that is consistent with known facts. It's like an irrational thinking person is that is inconsistent is known facts. So let's break down the quote. And let's start with the word love. This is how I define love. Love is a set of emotions and behaviors characterized by intimacy, passion, and commitment. It involves care, closeness, protectiveness, attraction, affection, and trust. So let's add that to the quote again. We can read it like this. Love is committed, attraction, protectiveness, affection, trust that is consistent. Let it come in. In watching the movie, we hear some of the valuable lessons I learned from Tuesday with Maury. Maury's straightforward conversations are life and death. He talked about life and death throughout the movie. And it reminded me of Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And what does that mean, in the power of the tongue? The scriptures isn't the only place you see life and death being in the power of the tongue. In fact, it's connected to the issues of life and death as found throughout the scriptures. This means it could be wise to understand the power of the tongue. The book of James tells us that the tongue is a small part of the body, but it goes on to talk about the tongue as if it has a personality, not like a physical part of the body. The key takeaway about the tongue is the word it produces. So let's look at Proverbs 8:21 with that in mind. Life and death are in the power of the words the tongue produces. There are two things going on here. There are words and there is a production of them. Know that words are not, know that words are, but how they are produced. Those words come from the heart before they land on the person's tongue. So now let's look at the verse that way. Life and death are in the power of the spoken words that come out of the heart. James goes on to say how this looks. With the tongue we praise our Lord Father, and with it we curse human beings who were made in God's likeness. How many of us can remember as kids someone saying something to you that was negative and you still hear those words today? But the positive affirmation works the same. That's why I'm such a fan of teachers and the work that they do. Like Mitch, I had a teacher like Maury who had a huge impact on my life. And just like Mitch, I didn't reach out to them until years later. It was 40 years later, we connected on Facebook. When I was in high school, she was my art teacher. She entered my artwork in many art contests as a student. My art was chosen to present it was chosen to represent Washington, D.C., and it hung in the Capitol. She drove me around the colleges to show my artwork in a portfolio that she purchased for me. So I wrote her a letter when I connected with her this year, after 40 years. I saw her on Facebook and I let her know how she changed the trajectory of my life. And I thank God she came into my life at the time. It was quite a long letter, but I won't give you all the points, bore you with all the points. But she said in 35 years of teaching, not one student has reached out to her to thank you. And let's go back to the movie. But that was one of the things I really admire about teachers and the work that they do, because they give such a positive trajectory to kids in their life. Think about how our tongue can bring life and death to ourselves and others. Think about a courtroom witnesses, according to the testimony they bear, of judges, according to the sentence they pass, of teachers, according to the doctrine they teach. Of all men who by their well and ill speaking brings death or life to themselves and others. Some by their tongue, by the too free use of them or falsehood of their utter, are the cause of death of themselves and others, and some by their silence or by their prudent speech, they secure or obtain life for themselves and others. Judgment at the last day will proceed according to a man's words. Matthew 12:37 says, "For by thy words you will be acquitted, and by thy words you will be condemned." The tongue is the instrument either of a great deal of good or of a great deal of evil. In his next clip, Maury talks about the poet, and he reads the poet H.W. Auden.
Sounds like another good one.
I'm hungry too. 2 minutes to deadline, we'll go to dinner, 2 minutes. You believe a major press conference for a high school jock? Wonder what Maury would think of that.
I know what he'd think. What kind of message does that send to kids who actually crack a book, study their butts off and get scholarships, and who's gonna hold a press conference for them?
Mitch, I'm going to my place tonight.
Wherever you wanna eat. Whoa. Where are you going?
It's okay, keep working. I'm just tired, I'm gonna go.
What are you talking about? We're going to dinner like we always do. What's the matter?
Nothing, I have a session tomorrow. I just wanna go home.
If we lived together, you'd be home, but 2 minutes to deadline, okay? Here, you have a career, you understand deadlines.
I'm a backup singer, that's not a career, it's a job.
You could have a great career if you really wanted it.
I don't know what I want anymore.
You're too good to keep singing backup, that's all I know.
Mitch, that's not what I'm talking about. I can't just keep going on like this, you know, waiting for you to fit me in. I gotta just think about what I want. So do you. Sorry, I did not mean to get into this now.
Janine, please don't go. Janine, wait. Obviously, we need to talk. Obviously, we will talk. I just need 1 minute, okay? Please, I love you. It's coming in 1 minute. 1 minute. God, please, just give me a second, please.
It's just not a good time, Mitch. Any other time, I'd say okay, take a few days off, relax.
No, you wouldn't.
Come on, playoffs, we got tennis, spring training.
I know.
You want to take some time, why don't you cut back from one of your other jobs?
Walter,
do you people work here? I want you on the road, Mitch.
Walter, I need to be here. It's personal, okay?
Oh, Janine, marriage thing again. I could recommend a hell of a counselor, but we got divorced anyway.
Walter,
look, Mitch, I need you. Detroit needs you. I'm sorry about your problems, but you know what? The world doesn't stop. Okay.
No. Come on. No ground rules.
I left Janine with promise. We'd talk. We'd get help as soon as I got back. Meanwhile, Walter was right. The world didn't stop.
Guys, you got time for a couple of questions? Guys, Sam, what happened in the fourth quarter? Danny, was your knee bothering you?
I remembered my promise to Maury, but when would I find time to keep it?
The strike wasn't about money. It was never about money.
Gee, how do we miss that?
It was about our worth as human beings. Our self-worth isn't being validated. But you're not a player. You wouldn't understand.
America had become a bazaar of self-help. Books, TV shows, $100 an hour experts, all of them with answers to the big important questions. What did Maury think of that? He wasn't in the self-help business. He was standing on the tracks with death's locomotive whistling toward him. His mind had become a lightning rod for ideas. He saw things with incredible clarity. I wanted that clarity. I thought I had it once. Who I was, what I wanted, what had happened to me.
Excuse me.
You almost missed the funeral. No, it was Maury's idea, a living funeral. He said he didn't want to wait till he was dead for people to say nice things about him. Go on.
I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the jiving and me. A cup. Boy.
That's terrific.
Now listen, you've all said such beautiful things. Believe it or not, now I want to talk. All I have is a voice.
We know, Dad, we know.
That's not me. That's from W.H. Auden, my favorite poet.
We know that too, Dad.
Oh, okay. All I have is a voice to undo the folded lie. The lie of authority whose buildings grope the sky. No one exists alone. Hunger allows no choice to the citizen or police. We must love one another or die. We must love one another or die.
Listening to that clip, watching that clip, and listening to that quote remind me of two things. First, how Maury wanted people around him. The body craved companionship for friends and family. Secondly, it reminded me of a survey I saw many years ago. It was a survey that was given to a group of people between ages of 91 and 100. and they were asked to look back over their lives and determine what really mattered. The first thing they said that if they had a chance to do it all over again, they would have reflect more. They would have taken more time to step out of the busyness of life and just contemplate it and think about what they were doing and why they were doing it and the impact on their lives. When you think about it, in America, we live life in warp speed. It took a pandemic to slow many of us down. We get up in the morning, we grab that caffeine and we get that engine going and out the door, and we almost have no time to just sit and contemplate. You know, Aristotle once said that the three components of a virtual man is friendship, justice, and contemplation. You think about that, you'll never be able to deepen your relationship if you don't take the time to think about the needs of your family, friends, and associates and what your needs are. You'll never understand that the unnecessary suffering and pain and wasted human potential if you don't take the time to think about what a just world should be. The second thing those in the survey said that if they had a chance to do it all over again, they would have took more risk in life. I think there is something in our subconscious mind where we all want to create a kind of a comfort zone. We want to have some kind of sense of safety or permanent protection. Many of us won't even attempt to try to do something in a different way if it made us feel uncomfortable. I think it's always outside of your comfort zone where change is made and impact is made on society. The third thing they said that if they had a chance to do it all over again, they would invest their lives in things that will live long after they're gone. And I think all of us want to leave some sort of mark, some sort of imprint that when we're dead and gone, that the world would know that we were here and that we made a difference and left a legacy. And that's what the writer Mitch Albom was allowing Maury Schwartz to do every Tuesday. He was transcribing Maury's thoughts. He was helping him to leave a legacy. In his next clip, Maury once again gives some lessons in life.
You always start before I'm ready.
Huh? You always start before I'm ready, wait.
Okay. Ooh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You okay? Coach, maybe we shouldn't work today, huh? You look like you should be in bed to me.
If you're in bed, you're dead. That's my latest aphorism. We're gonna work, and the subject is dependency.
Go.
I'm dependent on others for just about everything, you know. Eating, urinating, blowing my nose. The culture says I should be ashamed of that.
Since when have you ever done what the culture says?
Since never. There is nothing innately shameful about being dependent.
What's the matter?
My feet. There's some salve.
Over there.
They're useless, you know, but they hurt. When we're infants, we need others to survive. When we're dying, we need others to survive. But here's the secret. In between, we need others even more.
We must love one another or die.
Quoting Auden, huh?
No, quoting you. I do that a lot these days. Once you learn how to die, you learn how to live.
Yeah, but do you believe that? Does it apply to you?
I don't know.
You listen to that little bird on your shoulder, you'll believe.
It's not that easy, Coach. Out in the world, it's kind of hard to get in touch with your inner bird. You ever try being spiritual in a locker room full of naked jocks?
You hate that word, don't you, spiritual? You think it's just touchy-feely stuff, huh?
Well, I guess I just don't understand it.
We must love one another or die. It's a very simple lesson, Mitch. Good student like you shouldn't have any trouble.
The There that quote again, we must love one another or die. Before he said that, he said, we must not think like the world. He said, what does the world think? The world thinks poor man want to be rich, a rich man want to be king, and a king ain't satisfied until he rules everything. Of course, that's a lyric from Bruce Springsteen. But Professor Morey clearly states that we must do what we love. And he also said during the clip, do the kind of things that come from the heart. When you do, you won't be dissatisfied. You won't be envious, and you won't be longing for something else. On the contrary, you'll be overwhelmed with what comes back. The reason why some people feel uncomfortable and unhappy is that they think only for themselves. Morey taught us that selfishness and genuinely helping others bring us satisfaction and happiness. Morey talked about we should stop chasing the wrong things. He said so many people walk around with a meaningless life. They seem half asleep even when they're busy doing things that they think are important. This is because they're chasing the wrong thing. The way you get meaning in life is to devote yourself to loved ones, devote yourself to your community around you, and devote yourself to creating something that gives you purpose and meaning. Most people are blind by money and fame, so they often chase the wrong things. They tend to disregard their families and friends because they think that is the material things that can keep them satisfied. In the clip last watch, Mitch was rubbing the feet of Morey. It reminded me of when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. It was a symbolic reminder about his authority to forgive sin. His disciples, just like many of us, were sinful and in need of redemption. Thankful Jesus kneeled down to show that he was more than willing to wash us clean. In a time of scarcity, fear, and anxiety, our flesh and the world tell us to look inward, to look out for ourselves. But Jesus has another message. He tells us to look outward, to surrender, and to serve others. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We don't deserve it, and we don't earn it. We simply give them by grace, by faith. We must love one another or die. This is the time we're going to move into communion. If the band can come forward to the stage, we talked about Jesus coming not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We recognize the sacrifice each week through our communion. So when you're ready, please come and take a piece of a gluten-free cracker or some juice. You can eat and drink at the table, or at the front, in the middle, or on the sides. Whether you feel comfortable for you. Also, at this time, you can light a candle as a form of prayer in the back of the auditorium. You can also light a candle and write a prayer for Ukraine at the table in the back on the right corner. You may want to pray with someone in the back, or write a prayer in the stations on the Grow and Journey, and place the prayer in the frame there. Someone will pray for you during the week. You might like to give financially in the towers, in the wooden towers in the back, or sing, or just listen to the music. This is the time for us to respond to God and to celebrate the gift of God, love for each one of us. Thank you.